Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and God bless you all. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I'm coming to you again on Tuesday evening at 7:30 with a 1 hour opportunity to share some things that God has definitely dropped in my spirit. And, I wanted to be able to do this without any distractions or things pulling me away. And so I've been blessed to be able to do that since I've, gotten down here in Florida. And so just excited to talk to you all. For those that are listening across the United States, South America, in Canada, as well as in Africa and Iceland. So God is good, and I'm just excited about the things that he's done and that he's continuing to do. So, before we get into our fireside chat tonight, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Father, we appreciate you. Lord, there is no other God like you. And Father, we just stand before you tonight wanting to be sure that we communicate the very essence of the things, God, that you have given us, and that the ears that are listening here, Father, whether they pull these things up from times past to listen to them again, Lord, we pray that you speak tonight, Father, and not us, oh God. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am extremely, happy about the position that God has me in. And oftentimes we hear people saying that there is no other place I would rather be than in the will of the Lord. And I want to be sure that I am there. There is no other place that I would rather be than in the will of the Lord. And it's going to lead into what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. It is a difficult time for some people. Others have no adjustments they need to make. There are those that are struggling, those that are trying to figure things out, those that think they have it figured out, those that are waiting on answers, and those that believe they have answers, and some have the answers. And we are all on this earth, but in different perspective places. And because we are in different perspective places, all of us are looking for answers. Whether we want to admit it or not, I don't care if you're a leader, you're a servant, whatever you want to classify yourself as, Christian, non-Christian, whoever, we are all looking for answers because we have questions. We have questions. And we sometimes look to people to get those questions answered. That is a difficult thing because, normally we find somebody that we trust or that has some sense of credibility, and we ask the difficult question that we have in our life for them, hoping that they will deliver unto us an answer. And so, it becomes tough. Because if we ask multiple people, we're going to get multiple answers. And we still are in the same place we were in when we asked the first question, still looking for an answer. And we want to link our answers to people that we trust, or we look at someone's situation or dilemma, and we may in a sense, kind of measure our situation up against the person's situation that we are asking the question to. And the answer that we're looking for, we hope, either gives us comfort or moves us to the next step. In some cases, we like to use the word level in life and in God. And so these questions are not simple, you know, and some people believe that they are, but their situation is not the situation of the person that's asking the question. And so it makes it difficult for them, and they're just looking for an answer. Oftentimes, we as spiritual servants give the difficult answer by saying, you know, whatever, you know, God is saying to you, that is what you should do. And people get angry with you when you stand out of the way and put the ownership of the ask upon themselves, you know. And I'm going somewhere. Just ride with me here for a minute, you know. And so when we don't want to deal with what's real, we find other means of trying to satisfy an answer. And you know, the difficulty in finding that satisfaction in the answer is that sometimes the answer is only temporary. And it doesn't really fix the issue that has driven the question. One of the most difficult questions that we have in this life is, you know, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Hard question. And because we're looking for an answer behind that, some of us are brave enough to ask the question out loud. Some of us only ask the question in private, you know, because we may not want folks to know that we have no idea where we're going or what we're doing. It looks like we know, you know, but the reality of truth is that we have no clue. We are quiet and trusting God in every move. But when someone asks us the question, how do you know that God is telling you to do something? Because no one wants to believe that God will speak to them in a still voice. We don't want to believe that. And so because of our own intellect and where we sit and where we stand, we find it difficult to have a place where God can speak to us. Some of us read a whole bunch of books, or we try to find situations that are on television, or find situations that are in the books or on the radio in some manner by which it will identify to us where we can find the answer consistently and explain to us how we can hear from God. One of the greatest things that can ever happen to an individual is have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to them. Well, y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Because in these difficult times, the only one that has the right answer to our question is God. And, you know, we want to hear from God because the only way we can get an answer is God has to deliver that answer to us. Difficult thing here. And so when we don't have an answer to what is God saying to us, or I can't hear from God, how do you hear from God? If we can't hear from God, then we have no sense of direction of where we're going. Then we start leaning on people to tell us what we should be doing. And that's not everybody. There's some people. Then there are some of us that are stuck because we want to get out of where we are, but the difficulty is we can't. We don't know how. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying here. And because it's difficult and we cannot get out, we have built the wall of fear. And the fear comes in and it locks us in because fear won't allow you to hear from God, and it keeps you rationalizing in your mind that I don't have an answer. I can't move right now. I can't do anything because I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get there. And so, you know, and when someone sees that you are afraid, they can turn into a predator on your life. I hope y'all listening to me here tonight. Because of that fear that has locked you in, you know, and you don't move, predators now can circle around you because you won't make a move. I saw a movie and just an instance, it kind of like moved me. A building was collapsing, and it all had already kind of, you know, failed in a sense inwardly. And the fire department goes in to try to save people, to get people out. And so there was this one lady that was in the corner screaming. Firefighter approaches her, and in just a movement of debris scares her, and she won't move. Knowing that the building is crumbling, because she still sees debris falling, she decides that she will stay in the position that she's in. She sees everybody else leaving, and yet she stays in the corner. Firefighter sees her, and he makes mention unto her in a sense by saying, I've got you. Come on, let's go. But fear has her locked in there to where she cannot move. But the firefighter says something to her again, and as she says it to her, he now reaches out with pain and grabs her and tells her, I got you. Pulls her after she grabs his hand, and as he pulls her out, obviously it's a movie, and the building starts to crumble. He gets her out. But my point is how fear had set in on her, not understanding that the building is about to fall, and someone has come to get you out of this situation, and yet fear still has you sitting there not wanting to move. Man, again, you know, we have these questions tonight here, you know, and the question we're asking to God, we're looking for an answer. I want to talk about my question. Can I do that? I like being transparent, you know. Not because I don't know many of you all that's on the call, but I don't have a problem telling my story. My question is always to God, am I in your will? Think about that. I ask the Lord constantly, am I in your will? Because I was told, and I believe this, my big mama told me that if a man or woman can't hear from God, they can't obey God. And what kind of God would you love that would not speak to you? You know, how can you love a God that won't speak to you? So I just want to talk about my fear, because I see a lot of things happening around me, and I just want to be transparent if I could be that way tonight. My greatest question is, out of all the stuff I've been in, Lord, why would you want to deliver me? You know, everybody else can pat you on the back and tell you what you do is so great and so good, but you know your flaws, and nobody has to tell you what your flaws are. You know what they are. And some of us live with them because we have a defense mechanism that we do a whole lot of things that sometimes don't make sense to other people, but it protects us and really kind of keeps us inwardly, surrounded because we're afraid of something. But my question is, and it may not make sense to other people, Lord, why did you deliver me? What was about me that you had to reach and grab me and pull me out of a situation? And I've gotten myself in multiple situations. I just want to be real. What was it about me that would make you want to send people to talk to me and encourage me and grab me and want to pull me away from what I was in? Why me? You all might not ask. You might have different questions, and that's okay. This is just my question. Why me? And I hear people say that God does these things, and not on your own account, but he did this because of him and his word and stuff of that nature. But there are others that are not pulled out. And if God is pulling people out and if he's grabbing people, and there are those that are turning his hand back, I didn't turn his hand back, but why me? What was the reach for me that was different for the reach for the others? How was this thing so inviting to me that I would accept you reaching for me? Why me? And as I constantly read and I read certain parts of the Bible and at times I read certain books and then I'll skip and read another book to try to stay in a what is considered a timeline for our understanding in content. The concept of what's being read. I was reading and I was reading about the tabernacle. We've been talking about the last couple of weeks, Exodus chapter number 25, verse number 8. And this is where the Lord, tells the children of Israel through Moses, to build him a tabernacle, build a place that he might dwell among them. And the interesting piece is that, as I said before, the tabernacle wasn't a stationary building. It was a tent. It was a temporary. And it was to be moved. But God has his vision on this tabernacle when the children of Israel are in bondage. And he's reaching for them. Now, I can read about this and see that, God was reaching for the children of Israel because he had made their father Abraham a promise. And then I've heard preachers talk about God keeping the promise that he made to a dead man. Oh, Lord. Which makes me now kind of, wonder. Did God make a promise to my big mama, and that promise he made her filtered down to me? Is that why God is reaching for me? Because he made a promise well before I was born? And sometimes my struggles that I'm not aware of are historical. Because of the promise that he made. I said this once before, a lot of us have grandmothers that, love God, grandparents that love God, great-grandparents that love God, and fear, or may not have been fear, but they were always in the building called the church. You know, it was always in the building. It's almost like we're moving backwards now into a certain place, and then I'll tell you why I say that. Because, you know, all the questions I may have, I know God has the answers, but am I doing something now where God can't deliver those answers to me? Because the children of Israel was slaved for a number of years, ancestrally. Their ancestors, you know, had gotten them into that situation, and they were crying for years for God to deliver them. And finally he does. He raises up Moses, you know, which would mean that God has a plan to deliver. You know, we may not be aware of it, may not see it, but God has a plan to deliver us. And as he raises that person up, you know, that's going to come back and reach out for us. He's trying to pull us out, you know, and I would see that because of the storyline, the children of Israel was a part of God's promise. But my question to me is, God, am I part of your promise? I know that sounds crazy to a whole bunch of people, but am I part of your promise? Just because I have what some call a title, I consider a function, just because doesn't make me perfect, doesn't make me, you know, walk on water or something of that nature, because, you know, I still have things that I fight and I battle with, you know, but God still has a hand that he reaches out to me. He still has a hand that he reaches out to me. The thing that I love the most is that regardless of the situations that I have been a part of, involved with, tied to, God took his hand to reach in there and grab me. Reach in there and grab me. Which would mean now that he has a plan. And I don't want to make it churchy. Everything we made about God, we made about church. Right? I don't want to do that. You know? But God reaching for you means that he has a plan for you. He has something for you to do. And if you can hear God's plan for you, it is going to bless you, but not just you alone. It's going to bless others. And so if it blesses others, I wonder, you know, when I reach for God's hand, was I supposed to have someone else's hand in the other hand? When he grabbed me, was I supposed to pull someone else out? As he's pulling me out, am I to grab someone else and anchor them out, just like the man in the building, the fireman that grabbed a woman by her hand? He could tell her to come on, the building is going to fall. But she had no confidence in the words. She only had confidence in him reaching out his hand. And as she grabbed his hand, he pulled her out before the building could fall. I really want you all to grasp hold of something. And this is related to the tabernacle. Because without God reaching for the children of Israel and pulling Moses out and Moses being sent back to pull them out, they could never get to the place where they could now dwell with God. Can I say this? There are too many distractions exiting out of your problem. Too many distractions as God is pulling you out, you know, and they are loud, they are pointed, they are boisterous, and all of these opinions that you have floating through your head is speaking louder than the voice of God. There would be no way Moses could go back and grab the children of Israel if God didn't pull him to a place where only God could see, could speak to him. Moses had to have an experience that he could now understand and be a part of God's plan, but just thinking about God's plan wasn't enough. He had to hear the plan of God from God himself. Couldn't get to the tabernacle, a place where God could dwell with his people, because they were being mistreated. There was too much evil going on, too much craziness going on, and so that's not what he put, you know, he wanted for them. And he wanted them to partake of the promise that was made to their forefathers, Abraham. And they had something allotted to them because of their forefathers, which is crazy, because that means that if God is trying to pull you out, he's pulling you out because there's a promise that you are to partake of and that's been set aside just for you. You know, and that's interesting that God would love us enough that before we came here, he had provided something for us, but in the state of mind that we're in, it's difficult for us to hear God talk about where he has been and where we're going. I'm not going to be before you much longer. In Exodus chapter number 25, verse number 28, the children of Israel have reached this point to where they have been pulled out of the north. Oh, Lord. Where they've been removed from their taskmaster. And as I said to you before, now they're experiencing the power of God, and they are being provided for by God. And they have a question in the midst of this before the tabernacle is mentioned. Because Moses leaves them and he goes up before the Lord. And as he goes up before the Lord, they begin to ask questions. Where is Moses? Why did you bring us out here to be killed? Lord, why did you deliver us? You know, has anybody ever felt like God pulled you out of something, and yet as he pulled you out, it's gotten worse, or it seems like that the attacks are much more greater than they were when you were in the situation? And it's almost like you want to go back to the situation that you were in, not knowing that the place that God has you in is not permanent, it's temporary. That's right. The place that God has you in is not permanent, it's temporary. I don't say anything else tonight. As you ask God why, it may not be my question that you ask God. It may be your own specific question that you're asking of God. And you just can't seem to get an answer. And because of that, you may want to, you're thinking about going back. You may be trying to orchestrate a plan for yourself. But the place that God has you in is not permanent. It's temporary. And if you just allow God the opportunity and the time, whatever that is that he wants to deal with you, he's dwelling with you. You are in his hand. He's provided for you. You're in his hand. And whatever questions you may want to ask him at this moment, when you realize that he has you in a temporary place, but he still has a place, even though it's temporary, for you and him. And if you can hold on to that one thought, that this is temporary, he's going to move you over into your permanent place. Something that he has put together historically for you. dear hearts, even though I give myself an hour, I feel the Lord telling me that's enough. So I'm going to end tonight by telling you where you are in the ask of your question is only temporary. It's only temporary. God is moving you now to the place that was promised to your forefathers. And is there waiting on you. Amen. 30 minutes, y'all. God won't let me go any further. Well, I'm blessed. I'm excited. Just to let you know where God had you is only temporary. Ask all the questions. Where he has you is just temporary. He's moving you along into the place that was designed just for you. Amen. Go into a word of prayer. We can conclude this session tonight. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, for all the ears that were listening, for all the ears that were here, to know, God, that you delivered them. They are in a state of deliverance, Father. And the place that they're in is only temporary. It is not the place of the promise, but it's the place where you are dwelling with them, where you have your hands on them, preparing them, oh God, to go into the place where you want them to be. Father, we have to hear from you, oh God. Open our ears, oh Lord. Cast away all dispersions and doubt that we can now, Father, with clarity, know the steps that you want us to make and to take. We bless you, oh God. Every ear that listens tonight and that would come back and open up this particular broadcast, Father, we pray, God, that you speak into their spirit to let them know the place that they're in is only temporary. Amen. Well, dear hearts, you know, I'm going to give you almost 25 minutes back of your time tonight to think about the place that God has you. Amen. I believe that it's going to be a blessing for you just to hear it and receive it and to know about it. Only you have a question for God. Amen. Blessings.